Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwa. Landon, we made it to the month of July. We're getting closer and closer to football.
We did. Everybody's excited. It's nice out, Jim. After this, I'm at my grandma's house, headed outside to jump in the pool directly after I'm done talking to you. So normally I love talking to Jim, but I guess I'm excited to get off the call today. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. I was ready to say we could rush through it. Well, no, we can't. It's an hour, Landon. No matter how you cut it, you're stuck with me for an hour.
That's all right, Jim. That's all right. We haven't talked in a little bit. I'm excited to get into some Penn State stuff.
So am I. We're going to talk about some recruiting. It's been an exciting recruiting month, but our show is brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. They have a great inventory of new vehicles. I've told you this before. That's where I went for my new Honda CR-V. I got the best deal there. I had the best buying experience. And I don't even live in State College. I live 90 miles away. It was still worth the trip for me to go there. That's Bobby Ray Hall Honda. If you want to visit them, they have their showroom on West College Avenue. Or go online. You can check them out at Bobby Ray Hall Honda of StateCollege.com. Remember, an absolute great inventory of both new vehicles and used vehicles. All right, Landon. As we said, it's now July. June is over. Oh, my goodness. What a recruiting month for the Penn State Nittany Lions. By my count, they had 10 commitments in about 2 weeks. I know June could be is when they have those official visits, but that's still a big old haul.
Yeah, James Franklin and company just killed the month of June. Like you said, there's 4 weekends in the month of June. The coaches know. They have off in July. They have to go out, go on vacation. So they said, hey, let's finish this month off strong. And they picked up, I mean, what it felt like, too. It felt like 6 or 7, I think, in like a week. I mean, it was like there was one every single day. You'd see they call it the bat signal from Coach Franklin where he puts on Twitter. And everybody starts to go crazy. So, no, it's definitely really exciting from a fan's perspective that we're getting this type of caliber guys. Because I think there was a lot of worry in the world of NIL that we live in now. And it's, you know, people say, hey, you know, do we have enough money to compete with these top programs? So I think it's definitely comforting to see, hey, we are still balling out in the NIL era and we have safety coming when we get, you know, everything starts to kind of get regulated next year where we have $22 million to share among the players. So everything is kind of looking up, I'd say, in Penn State recruiting and NIL, even with kind of what you call either blunders or just not up to par with the Georgia, Alabama's in, as far as NIL and recruiting. But it looks like Penn State's still going to be, you know, top 5, top 10 in recruiting class. So obviously it's a little bit early and there's a lot of guys that wait until signing day to commit. But it looks like we are going to fare pretty well as far as this 2025 recruiting class goes.
Well, you already hit on one of my questions. Does this alleviate some of those concerns? And just give you a fair warning, Landon, I'm going to be playing a little devil's advocate as we go through the rest of the show on the recruiting. So you get the heads up of that warning. Mm-hmm. But do you think the fan base looks at this and says, like you did, hey, not to worry, everything is under control?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think to a certain extent. I mean, you look at what James Franklin has done as far as NIL and transfer portal. Had the lowest amount of transfers out in the Big Ten. I think it was actually tied with Northwestern, but they were tied for the lowest. He hasn't really, you know, had too many big NIL blow up guys in schools and no one not hearing any of that. So he you do support it. You have to recognize how hard it is to not have that support in this world of NIL. And James Franklin just doesn't have it. You know, whatever the reason may be for that, you know, people could talk amongst that, but he doesn't have it. And that's really difficult for head coach. So I think he's doing a really good job with what he's got. And so, like I was saying, I think as things get more and more even, so to speak, in the NIL world, he is going to do just continuously get better and better.
I think sometimes, Landon, the NIL issues might be exaggerated a bit, or there's extra anxiety from the fan base. And it's natural when you look at Ohio State and their riches and what they could do with the transfer portal, with NIL money, just the recruiting, what they do. And when you do comparisons to Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, you're going to come up short. My feeling, though, Landon, is 98% of the schools are not Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. Sure, if you compare yourself to them, you're going to come up short, but it feels like the rest of the schools have that same concern.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. You can't always compare yourself to the top dogs. But I mean, I think then to play devil's advocate, how can we not, if we want to be the top dog, Jim, if we want to go win, you know, a couple playoff games, if we want to go to the national championship, like we've been talking about, how can we brush that off and just say, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's Ohio State, that's Georgia, that's Alabama, that's those guys that have been winning, you know, playoff games and national championships. You know, I think at the same time of, you know, defending how we've handled NIL, because we haven't really had the best resources as a Penn State football team, I think there also is still that scrutiny of like, hey, you, it's time to perform. You have that number one quarterback in the nation. You have those running backs. You have a great defense. I feel like this season kind of has this like feel of like, why, what's going to happen? We're just waiting. It feels like it could go a couple different ways. Guys could really step up. Guys could kind of plateau out. I think this is it's a really big test for Coach Franklin, not only on the NIL piece and how he's handling that, where he's really a GM now. I mean, if you're a head coach, there's no GM position. You are handling, you know, how this money gets distributed, where it goes. You know, you got to be smart with it. You can't make someone too mad. We talked about Judkins, the running back from Ole Miss that we played in the Peach Bowl. Ole Miss brought in a ton of dudes, put out a ton of money into the transfer portal. Judkins felt like, hey, you are not taking care of me. I deserve a lot of this money that you're giving out. I'm going to go to Ohio State and get me a nice old big bag from them. So, you know, when that type of stuff is going on, I definitely think it is difficult for James Franklin to kind of do well in this world of NIL, where we talked about it. We don't have the infrastructure here to support a ton of money just being thrown at our players like you can do at Ohio State, like you can do at these other schools. But I am really just excited, Jim, for this season. I do think, it, you know, we have the ability to be a very high caliber playoff team. But there also is like that possibility of maybe not. It's, you know, like 2021, where it was like 7-5 and we just felt like things weren't clicking. And it kind of has that feeling of there's so many different things going on with NIL, with new coaches, coordinators. Which way is that going to go? And I think that all kind of falls on James Franklin. So I'm excited to see how he handles all of this as a GM now and a head coach of a college football team.
Well, I want to touch on that. You brought up an interesting point about this year's team with the talent they have, and it creates a window. I want to get to that a little bit later, but I want to get back, Landon, to this idea of other teams are struggling with NIL also. And I'll use as my example USC, who I think we as Penn State fans very casually would think, oh my goodness, it's USC, it's Lincoln Riley, it's Southern California for a recruiting base. They're now in the Big Ten. Holy cow, how in the world are we going to keep up with USC? Do you know where USC is ranked in the recruit rankings for this year?
Where?
34th.
Whew.
Do you know that they just had last week 2 5-star defensive linemen decommit? They still have a 5-star quarterback in their recruiting class who is right now openly flirting with other schools.
I have seen that.
So, and that's where I bring up that as much as, you know, Penn State fans are concerned, and I do think there's reason to be concerned, especially when you compare yourself to Ohio State, but it's not, you know, rainbows and unicorns for every other school in the country either.
Yeah, that is interesting that you brought up USC, because they did kind of have that feel, I think, because of Caleb Williams. It was like, oh, they just have buckets of money and they're just throwing at all these guys. And now it sounds like they kind of tried to do that. And you don't just have 2 5-star defensive linemen decommit. There was something where, you know, someone either came in with a lot more money, they realized they weren't really going to get the amount of money that they thought. Maybe USC backed out. I'm sure a lot of these deals they're trying to get signed. I don't know how any of them are binding or who can enforce it, but you know, maybe USC didn't want to sign a specific deal. And so, you know, it's interesting. And I think it shows that around the country, it's not just Midwestern PA people that don't want to open their wallets and give, you know, 18-year-old kids millions of dollars. That is going on. That's going on everywhere around the country. And I think really outside of, you know, like Michigan and Ohio State, it's just down south. I mean, they already were paying their guys. Let's just call a spade a spade. They've been practicing it for years, and now it's legal. So now, I mean, they already kind of had that boost through a fan base. You know, obviously there was always boosters that gave money to athletics, but it was never to this extent. So, I mean, I'm really am being serious though. I mean, there was boosters lining up already paying guys down there, and now they get to do it legally. They already have that flow and that connection, that relationship. And, you know, I don't really think much of that was happening up here up north in the Big Ten. So there is that piece of it too, Jim, where it's just they just don't have the resources. And like we talked about before, we live in State College, PA. State College would be a nothing city if it wasn't for Penn State. Like, it is there because, and the infrastructure is there because of Penn State. There's no, you know, Fortune 500 companies, these big time businesses. It is mom and pop shops, and it's hard for guys to thrive in NIL in State College, you know, comparatively to someone up in Ann Arbor doing deals with some big time businesses. There's just a lot more cash flow at these other schools too, Jim.
There is, Landon, and you brought up how down south this has been a way of life for a while. Yeah. The money funneling to the players, allegedly.
Allegedly.
That word covers your tracks for whatever you say. Just throw
that
in allegedly. But when we come back, what I want to ask you about, Landon, is the NIL. Like right now, we all know the Ohio State situation. They are really throwing money at it. They're tired of losing to Michigan. They're tired of not winning a national championship. They really went all in for this year. Question becomes, what if it doesn't work out perfectly? Now, for them, it's probably national championship or bust. But Ole Miss is another example. They put all their chips in on the table. But they're playing in a conference with Alabama and Georgia. It doesn't necessarily always work out. That's what I want to ask you about, Landon, when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State recruiting. A very good haul this month for the Penn State Nittany Lions. They brought in about, I think, what did I say, 10 commitments in the span of about 2 weeks, Landon. But the interesting thing I think people have to understand, even though they get ranked, I believe, anywhere like 6, 7, 8, depending on which service and what day of the week that you have, I think most people would say, hey, top 10, that's pretty good. What you also have to understand is how those rankings work. It's not just the quality of player, it's also the quantity. Mm-hmm. So Penn State right now, I believe, has at least 20 commitments. And I'll use as an example, Florida State, and I got to just find my notes here. Florida State is ranked 35th nationally. Not so good. But the fact is they only have 9 commitments. But of that 9, 8 of them are 4-star. The 9th is a 5-star. So their average ranking per player is like 4th or 5th in the country. Penn State, with the 20 commits, their average ranking per player is like 15th in the country. So as other teams get more commitments, that's probably going to push Penn State down. And they're probably going to be like finish 13th, 14th, 15th in the country, unless they're that last several recruits are like high 4-star, 5-star type guys. So I think you got to always be aware of that when looking at these numbers and the ranking. I don't mean to take anything away from what they did in this past month, but that's an aspect of this that you have to remember.
You know, Jim, I am curious though, like, as far as we're landing some good 4-star recruits, but landing those high level 5-star recruits, I mean, what do you think that costs nowadays? If you want to land a top 20 guy, I mean, you're shelling out well over, I think, $500,000 minimum. And if we're talking quarterback, I mean, I don't know. If NIL air was kind of sped up a little bit, is Drew Aller the number one guy? Is he at Penn State? If he's getting offers for couple million, I don't know. It's interesting. And then on the other side of that, are we struggling a little bit? We haven't been hitting on super big time 5-star guys recently. Is that even going to be exacerbated even bigger now that NIL is here and you have to shovel out a ton of money to get those big time 5-stars?
Landon, that is the question. You hit it. And, you know, let's do a little comparison. And I'm going to do exactly what I accuse other people of doing is, well, if you compare Penn State to Ohio State, of course. Well, I'm going to now do that. I'm going to compare Penn State to Ohio State. Now, you mentioned, you know, what does a 5-star guy, what does he require now financially? Well, I'm going to change to explain a little bit again how the recruiting and that star ratings works. There's typically, I think, in a class about 30 5-star guys. And then there's like 200 or 300 4-star guys, okay? So there's a huge discrepancy between a high 4-star and a lower 4-star. And, you know, that high 4-star and 5-star are probably pretty close. I think they would be better served if it's like make the top 100 be 5-stars. And I use, hey, are they a top 100 player? I think is a better way to separate the elite players from the rest. All right. With that said, Ohio State in the 24 and 25 recruiting season, they've got 3 quarterbacks, Landon, 3 of them that are top 100 players, including one of them for the 25 season. He's the number 2 player in the country. They've got him. And this is after 24 bringing in 2 top 100 players at quarterback. So they've got...
Sounds like a lot of transfer portal to me, Jim.
Well, the one of the 3. Now, these are incoming freshmen. One of them was the transferred from Alabama before playing. So, but he's still got fresh. He's still a freshman. So, you're right. They are going to be transferring out. Okay, that is all part of this equation. But it leads to the question, and I think you kind of brought it up, Landon, is these coaches now are general managers like we think of in the NFL and other sports, where it's like, how am I going to allocate my dollars? And when they start to have that $22 million to spend, it's only going to be more so that case, right?
Yeah, it is. And I'm curious. I mean, why does Ohio State have that much money? I mean, those guys, no matter what, even if you're bringing in three quarterbacks, if you're a quarterback in the top 100, I'd argue you need a couple hundred thousand. I think that's kind of the least the flat rate of it. And that's just crazy to me that they have enough to dump on that. But I do think also just not too deep into Ohio. I think they're used to having an elite quarterback in the last year, and it doesn't really look like they're going. I think they're. We need to find us that throw all the can at the quarterback. Something's going to stick.
Yeah, they have. If you get one of these quarterbacks, you feel pretty good about yourself. But if I've got three of them or four of them in my quarterback room, hey, if one of them doesn't work out, cough, cough, Kyle McCord, don't care. They move on. I just get the next guy in line. Oh, and if, by the way, I think, you know, my quarterback room is too young and inexperienced, despite how talented it is. Oh, well, I'll just go grab this proven guy from Kansas State to come in for a year. And but where I'm headed with this, Landon, when we finish quarter number one, and I still haven't gotten to it, is there not also some danger to that throwing so much money at it? Can you do that year after year after year? Now, I think Ohio State will spend money every year. But if they don't win this year, are they going to continue to spend this kind of money?
Yeah, I think it depends on the team and kind of the expectation. Like, where is that threshold for Ohio State this year where the fans are angry? I think they, like you said, they are national championship or bust. So, you know, if they don't win the Natty, I think anything outside of going to the Natty and losing, maybe, their fans are going to be upset. They're going to be mad. I mean, obviously, if they lose, they're going to be mad. But as far as being acceptable and still wanting to support NIL from a fan standpoint, I think Ohio State at least has to go to the national championship. I think that is a lot less for Penn State, for our fans to get behind us and really want to support and be okay with NIL. I think if you don't go to the playoffs or maybe lose your first playoff game, the fans are probably going to get angry about that. And, you know, you see that in NIL, you won't see as much support. Now, if you go win a playoff game for Penn State this year, I think you see support come in droves, just as far as, you know, money-wise, if you showcase that type of ability with that team. So I think there's different thresholds for each team, but there is clearly that those donors getting fed up. If you dump in millions of dollars, you know, Texas A&M, and you win four games, no one's going to donate it anymore. So there, you do have to make sure if you're promising something to these donors and saying, hey, I got, you know, I need this much money, we're going to go win 9-10 games. You better do it, because you don't do it, you get that money, you don't complete the mission, you're not getting any more money from all those people. So that can start to get really rough in this age of NIL where you have to rely on big-time donors, Jim.
You do. And at the top end, we talked about Ohio State having to win. I'm glad you mentioned Texas A&M as an example. I think they were one of the first schools to really jump on the NIL and putting the money out. Remember, they had the number one recruiting class by far. I think it was ranked number one in the history of the game at that point. It hasn't happened for them. And Ole Miss, I think it's interesting. I think Ole Miss went all in for this year. It's interesting that it cost them an All-American running back because, as you said, he looked around, saw what all these other guys were getting and said, hey, how about me? But if you're Ole Miss, you know, What if you're an Ole Miss fan, what do you need to be happy this year? And remember, you've got Alabama, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Missouri, all in your same conference. No guarantee you're even going to make the playoffs this year, Landon.
No, not at all. I mean, I think especially after, I don't know what they finished, but after winning the Peach Bowl, I mean, that's hard, Jim. I'd say they have to at least win a playoff game. I think the fans would be pretty upset, and maybe even two. I don't know. That's pretty – to dump that much money in, and they're, you know, inside the top 10. I think everybody's got to – if you're inside the top 10, you have a good shot at it, especially if you have made that many additions like Ole Miss. You know, we talked about losing their star running back, but they brought in a lot of guys on the defensive line and other places to kind of shore up some areas they needed to get fixed. I don't know. I think it really is going to be interesting the years to come to watch the backlash from the teams that don't perform well. And then when you dump money in, my question is, Jim, when they dump money in, let's say Ohio State wins it all, which is worst case scenario for us Penn State fans, you know, how much more money is being dumped in? I mean, are they able to just get any guy you want? Because you win a national championship, the support's coming in. But then at the same time, though, you look at Michigan, and I know there was a whole coaching change. They had a huge group of seniors leave that came back for their fifth year to kind of win that national championship. So they lost a ton of guys to the transfer portal and the NFL. But it's like, you start to win these national championships and you're a big-time program, you are going to feel that support NIL-wise, and you're going to be able to get, I feel like, a lot more of the top guys when you have that type of support that, say, you know, other schools do not have, Jim.
I think you will also, Landon. My question, though, is not every school is in a national championship or bust mode like Ohio State. And I think there's argument that could be made if they win the Big Ten, if they beat Michigan, if they have a good showing in the playoffs but don't quite win a national championship, that's okay. And you could probably put Alabama and Georgia and maybe like teams like Texas, Oklahoma, LSU in that same container. But the question becomes, how many of those teams are there that are putting money into NIL and expect to get at least a, you know, I'll put a number, I'll say a top 10 finish. If there's 20 schools that are putting enough into NIL that they expect a top 10 finish, guess what, Landon? Half of them won't get there. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Fantastic place to go if you're looking for your new Honda. They have a great inventory of new vehicles, including 2024 Honda Civics, with financing rates as low as 3.9%. They also have my car, the Honda CR-V. They also have Landon's dream car, the Ridgeline truck. Fantastic vehicle. We may see Landon in one of those vehicles in the not-too-distant future. If you want to check out Bobby Rahal, their showroom, it's on West College Avenue, or you can visit them online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Great place to buy a vehicle. I had a fantastic buying experience when I bought my car there. I recommend you check them out. All right, Landon, we were talking about the expectation levels that are created with NIL. It's one thing for 100,000 fans who have season tickets that they pay for and all, but you have some donors now who are putting out really big money. They expect results. I think so far we've already seen some situations like Texas A&M, Miami, where they put money out there and not gotten the results. So what's the end of this for those NIL-based schools that are really counting on NIL to turn them around?
I mean, I think it really depends on the coach. If I'm being honest, it's, you know, how can they manage it? Are they managing the problems in the locker room? Because there are, trust and believe, around the country, there are guys that have problems with the dude, whether he's making too much money, he's getting too much playing time, and they feel like they deserve that type of, you know, recognition as far as money and playing time goes. So there is that, and you have to control that as a head coach. But you also, like you said, you have to be a GM now, and you have to figure out, okay, is it smart for me to put $1 million in this five-star, you know, offensive lineman? I have to really trust. I mean, that's where you are essentially a, you know, an NFL draft dude. Like, you have to look at this and say, okay, is this truly worth the investment? You're no longer just saying, oh, yeah, you know, just take a scholarship. Take one of the 85. We'll throw one of the 85 scholarships at him. take a chance. No, now you're promising $1 million of one of your best donors on this kid. So now I'm really taking a closer look. Is he worth it? I'm doing more research. What's his family like? His background? Did he get in a lot of trouble? You know, I think there's a lot more of that now in recruiting than there was, because like I said before, it was, yeah, we're going to throw a, you know, 180, one of the 85 scholarships at him. Now I'm throwing some serious, serious cheddar at him. I need to make sure that this guy is legit. So I think that it is now more important than ever that you get a great head coach that understands how not only how to run a team and lead a team, but you have to be a GM and manage all of this and also be a good people person to understand, okay, this guy is probably not a good fit for me to throw $1 million at him.
Yes, and that the character issue. And that leads me to, I want to circle back to now Penn State. And the question is, Lynn, I don't think Penn State will ever compete with like the Ohio States and Georgias of the world, just whether it's a reputation, legacy, actual dollars and cents. But we saw a year ago a Michigan team win a national championship without having those top three, top five type recruiting classes. So the question is there a path for a team like Penn State to recruit well, if not great, but recruit well enough and create the kind of team that could win a national championship, win Big Ten championships?
I think they definitely can. It still kind of feels the same as how it used to be, where the top guys just went to Ohio State, Alabama, kind of Michigan, Georgia, because they were just the best. Now they're also, you know, some of the still the best, but they have the most money too. So it feels like it hasn't really changed in NIL of like there's now a new top dog in recruiting or killing these recruiting classes. I'd say there's some, like Florida State clearly has a lot of money and they've been doing really well. But for the most part, it's not like it doesn't really feel like anything has really changed, except for the fact that I will say like TCU, Texas, like these teams that have never been in the college football playoffs for, you know, a long time since they began, and now they are making serious headway. So I think there's something to be said for that, and teams starting to compete a little bit more than previously, than before the NIL era. But I don't know how I see it all working out for a school like a TCU, a Penn State, where it's difficult. It's hard to break into that top five, Jim, where those elite schools, and that's where most of the five stars are heading.
In Joe Paterno's era, he used to talk to his players and his recruits about, and I think for the longest time, they were in a cycle where in every 4-year cycle, you either had an undefeated team or you played for a national championship. So it was a rebuild as opposed to a reload. Like Ohio State, it's every year. So you had mentioned earlier, Landon, about this year, and I think it was very astute talking about the window. And I think the window was open last year and this year because they did have or do have some of those elite five-star top 100 type players. Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, Abdul Carter, Tyler Warren. These are star players. Now, not all of them were five-star or top 100 players as recruits, but they have that caliber of player right now, and they will pretty much be gone starting next year, okay? So there might be a rebuild coming. Where I'm heading with this is that kind of the model where I think it was the 22 recruiting classes where you got players like Nick Singleton and Drew Aller. And if I have a criticism of this year, the 2025 recruiting class, they don't have any of those kind of players. I think they have one top 100 player, and I think he's like 98th. So can you win without those couple of elite players, or is that what you have to do, at least bring a couple of them in and build around them?
Yeah, I think you have to have some of them. I will say I was a part of what a lot of people called like an average Penn State recruiting class that I think turned out to be really good. Had Kobe King, Jalen Reed, Zaki Wheatley, Kalen King. So it was definitely a good class. But you I think you to be that top five team to play for a national championship, you have to have those elite players that make, you know, NFL GMs say, wow, those guys that are just insane, that can completely change a game. You have to have one of those on your team and hopefully a couple of those types of guys. So I do think that you have to be able to compete for the top five-star guys. But, Jim, you were talking about Joe Paterno and how it was kind of, you know, national championship rebuild. And I did have to share this fun fact that I actually have a video coming out where I went into the stadium and I talked to Spider Caldwell, who was the 30-year equipment manager for the Penn State football team under Joe Pa. And we kind of, he's telling me stories. And I was going around and we were talking about how Bobby White, we ran into him and he told me a story. Only guy, by the way, one of the only guys to be on the 82 team and the 86 team. And he was telling me about 85, how they lost in the national championship and they were, you know, distraught. Joe was like, man, this is, you know, insane. That's when all the guys, almost every single senior decided to come back for their fifth year because they knew what they had. And then after that, it was definitely a little bit of a rebuild, but, you know, went undefeated, lost on the national championship, and then they did not lose another game that next season. The fun fact about this, Jim, the only time in Penn State football history that there was not spring ball practice was then after the 1985, before the 1986. Spring of 1986, there was no spring ball because Joe felt that his team was so prepared. It was a bunch of veterans, bunch of fifth-year guys coming back that he was able, hey, take the time off, make sure the young guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing, but you guys need to rest, be ready. We know what we have. Let's come back next year and win a national championship. So I thought that was interesting, kind of talking about how there's always that rebuild. Well, Joe, you know, almost everybody kind of left. They came back for one more year and they won the national championship. And I'm sure they knew, I don't really know the record in 1987, but I'm sure it wasn't as good as a national championship when they had all those kind of super seniors leave. But I thought that was a good story to kind of show that it's funny. And then I thought that was, you know, I'm a big component. We've talked about spring ball. So I thought it was interesting that Joe Pa had a really veteran group and he said, hey, take off. We need to be focused. We need to be, you know, rested and our body needs to be ready to go for this 86 season. And then boom, undefeated, you know, the rest of the story.
Well, it's interesting because you said that often, you know, for the veterans, the guys who are there for their fifth year, that spring is not, they probably need more time to rest than anything else. So it's interesting. You and Joe Pa thinking alike there, Landon.
I know. It's I'm you know, obviously a huge fan of his, but that made me even a bigger fan. I do, you know, I was talking to Keith Conlon, Goon, that everybody knows him. He was on offensive lineman on the 94 Rose Bowl team, and he was saying that Joe Pa back in the day, they actually used to, if you were a senior, maybe even a star junior, you wouldn't do spring ball. I mean, that was a real thing. It's funny now. It's like, I mean, you can't imagine anybody like sitting out spring ball, which I do think is a possibility in the future with, we could have possibility of holdouts, things like that. Although with the transfer portal, a holdout, you know, it's not really going to do you much good. You can just get out of there. But he was telling me that, you know, Joe Pond, I think this happened around a lot of places. If you were a fourth year, fifth year guy, you knew what you were doing. You weren't doing spring ball. And I think nowadays, I mean, it's like the starters are getting the most reps, almost more than the development squad. And I think it's interesting just because I feel like that should be a more of a time for your twos, threes, and fours, those young guys that get a ton of reps, take some reps off of those first string older guys. But I really like Joe Pa and how he went about that, Jim.
Well, I think one of the things that was not recognized with Joe Paterno was in many ways he was ahead of his time. And he was thought of, even I know a lot of people only know him from his last several years where he was very old and, you know, the team had issues. But he was, even as a younger man, thought of as, well, it's an old-fashioned kind of team, an old-fashioned kind of offense. But Joe Pa was one of those proponents of a playoff long before everybody else was. He was also – here's my fun fact, Joe Pa fun fact in Penn State program going back then. Do you know that Penn State was the first national champion to throw for more yards than they ran?
I did not know that. Okay. What was that, Todd Blackledge?
Yes.
Shout out to Todd Blackledge. There you go.
Yep, the 82 team. And they had an excellent running game. They had a guy by the name of Kurt Warner, who was a phenomenal running back. But I think early on, a lot of the focus was on stopping Penn State's running game when okay, we've got a pretty good passing game also. So that's my fun fact. But Landon, we managed to fill up this segment. I just now looked at my clock and see we're running out of time. We'll get back into it, the whole recruiting aspect of it, when we come back after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking all things recruiting. Landon, I want to get more into Penn State specifically and their recruiting. And a lot of Penn State fans probably won't like this statement, but I'm not sure that Penn State will ever be that team that recruits like Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia do, where that they're that number one, two, three team in the country. And I guess it's, can they win without doing that? We actually saw Michigan do that, and could they serve as the model for how to do it? So I want to talk about James Franklin then as a recruiter, and I think there's things like, by the way, we talked about that 22 recruiting class where I mentioned Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, I mentioned Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter was not a five-star guy coming in, Landon. He wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't even, I don't think, in the top three or four in Pennsylvania. So, you know, there's more to recruiting than just that ranking. It's can you find that talent? Can you put the right pieces together? And can you coach it up? And is James Franklin the guy to do that, Landon?
Yeah, I think you made some good points there. And one thing that we didn't bring up is, no offense to any of our guys, I love T. Frank, all the dudes over at On3 24/7. They're all my guys. But let's be honest. A lot of these guys are just slapping rankings on dudes, and they, you know, don't really know what they're doing, what they're looking at. Now, that's not to say that a five-star shouldn't be a five-star. I think there is clear times where it's like, okay, this dude is head and shoulders above the rest, no question. But we talked about the disparity between a four-star ranked, let's say, 80th in the nation, and a five-star ranked 29th in the nation. I mean, is there really that much disparity, Jim? That's going to be ranked and rated a lot different. And I know when you're getting a lot of those four high four-star and five-star guys, I mean, yeah, are more of them probably going to turn out, you know, pretty decent. You're going to hit on a couple. But I think sometimes we put a little too much credence into the exact ranking, and you don't realize that there is, you know, there's recruiting departments for a reason. If you have a good recruiting department, the coaches really take some time to go in depth and look at these guys. I think you can find some gems and even four-star players that a lot of these coaches might think are better than the five-star players, Jim.
I think you're right, Landon, but I'm going to go both ways. I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth here. The five-star guys, as I've had someone tell me, they're obvious, okay? For example, Micah Parsons out of Harrisburg, our colleague Andy Shea has seen him play since he was like in eighth or ninth grade and was able to say, Jim, you didn't have to be an expert.
Yeah.
You know, who was it? I think it was Nick Singleton. I had a high school football writer say to me, he was on the sideline, saw Singleton run by him one time and said, okay, I've seen enough. He's really good. Okay. So I think you still need those top end guys, but how good are you finding? I looked it up real quick here while we were talking. Abdul Carter was ranked 33rd among linebackers when he came out, Landon.
Was he really? Was he a four-star?
Yes, he was still a four-star. Barely, that's why I said
barely.
You know, that four-star. Let me look. I'm going to give you exactly where.
While you look.
He, Okay. Oh, and he was also ranked 9th in the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, for example, like we just got Nolan Rucci, and that was someone big that we missed out on back in 2021. He was in my class, and he was, I think there was like 2 or 3 offensive linemen in my class that were 5 stars, and he was one of them. And, you know, obviously hasn't really now found his way back to Penn State, but hasn't panned out the exact way you thought a 5-star would. I think all Penn State fans cover your ears, Justin Shorter, back in the day, 5-star wide receiver that I think he ended up going to Florida. And it's like, you know, sometimes those guys just don't pan out. And a lot of times I think when it's someone who's big and they're projecting them to kind of fit in well somewhere or really develop their skills or certain things like you can't account for that. You can't, if you're a 24/7 recruiting analyst, it's just hard to really account for, hey, is this guy going to be able to whatever, put on the weight and then be able to move correctly and understand the new technique that's being taught to him, et cetera. There's a lot of variables that go into it. So I think that's why, and you see some people come out and say, yeah, that's why there's more 3 stars in the NFL than 5 stars. That's like, well, duh. I mean, there's only about 20, 30 5-stars a year. There's thousands of 3-stars, but there, you know, it is, it's hard to guess. It's hard to guess how someone is going to turn out, Jim. So I don't think, you know, obviously recruiting classes are reflective normally of how a team does, but if you're finishing in that top 10 area, I don't think there is too much of a discrepancy between the 8th ranked recruiting class and let's say the 3rd ranked recruiting class.
Well, I think where the disparity is, I keep mentioning those same 3 teams, Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Go look at their recruit rankings over the last decade, and you could see why they dominated the sport. It is crazy. In this upcoming recruiting class, there are 14 5-star guys that are committed, Landon, okay? Only 14 that have committed. 7 of them are on the top 3 teams. Ohio State has 3 of the top 6 rated players in the country, okay? That's crazy. So just as a numbers game, they have more bites at the apple. But when you recruit, and I'm looking at the Penn State 22 recruiting class in front of me, and at the very top are Drew Aller and Nick Singleton and Denai Dennis Sutton, who are all 5-stars. But it's when you move a little further down, you know, Drew Shelton, Katron Allen was ranked 179th and the 15th best running back in the country. I think he's outplayed that. How about KJ Winston was ranked as the 34th best safety that year, okay? Landon, I think he's a little better than the 34th best safety in the country.
Now that you're going through it, that 22 class has potential to be like up there with some of the best recruiting classes of all time for Penn State. I didn't even think about some of – I mean, that class is deep.
And there's players like – Zane Durant, who was a 3-star, you know, and that's the kind of thing where, but this class had both. It had some high end guys that I think, as good as so many of these other guys are, you take away Drew Aller and Nick Singleton at the very top, and it's not the same. So I'm going to say something stupid, Landon, which won't be the first time, but you know, it's like, do you have a coach who's capable of identifying those players who are not the obvious 5-star guys? Nick Singleton was obvious. I'll give Penn State credit. They were on Drew Aller before he was considered that 5-star guy. Okay. So do you have the coach who could not only identify those guys, but is a good enough recruiter to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we're not the very highest money team, but you're going to get an opportunity here. You're going to get trained very well. If I'm the tight ends coach at Penn State, I have a tremendous story to tell, even if I'm not paying the very top dollar for them.
Yeah, I think you try to recruit, you know, everybody that you're interested in, but as you start to realize, let's say we're going to give this guy money, hey, we're not going to be able to talk to that number one running back, that number one tight end in the nation. Let's go search in the, you know, 20 to 8 range as far as, you know, where they're ranked nationally. I bet we can find a diamond in the rough there. Let's go through, look at all their recruiting profiles. Let's find something, because we're just going to be able to get them for a lot cheaper than that number one dude. So I think there is that, finding that diamond in the rough, so to speak, now. And it's almost like, you know, it is like drafting people. And because you are spending a lot of capital and you're having to figure out, okay, is this guy truly worth it? So it's interesting. And Jim, here, I have to segue into something I wanted to talk about in these last couple minutes, is that I brought up is also like how you recruit someone. So there is the home visits that we've talked about. And before, I think a couple months ago, Deion Sanders came out and said that he will not do home visits. He doesn't need to. He doesn't go to schools because he says, if I go to IMG, the school right down the street is going to want me to come by too, and all of them. So I think that is kind of an interesting take. But Coach Franklin does a great job with the home visits. So I think there is a big still – I think there's still an impact of how someone recruits. How are these coaches on the home visits? Do they understand how to talk to a bunch of different types of families? You know, understanding where different kids come from, how can they relate to them, you know, make them feel comfortable that they are going to, you know, succeed well at this college. So there is still a big piece of that. I don't think that has just been completely thrown out the window. Although I will say Nick Saban was talking about home visits and said that's part of the reason why he retired. He was going on the home visits, Jim, and they were just saying how much money, how much money, how much money. And he said, you know what? He said to his wife, I don't know if I can do this anymore because this is not what it is supposed to be. But I just saying all that to say, my point is, I think there is still, it's now being underestimated how you still have to be a good recruiter. You cannot just toss money and that absolutely solves all the problems in recruiting, Jim.
And I think there's also an argument to be made for character in all of this, which doesn't come into play in that 3, 4, 5 star. You know, is this a guy who's just going to be all about money and a year from now he's just going to ask for more money? Versus, is he a team player? Is he a guy who's going to make his teammates better? And, you know, I do want to share one story with our old colleague, Ross Tucker, told me when this is back with Trace McSorley being recruited. And I said, what's the difference between a 3-star and a 4-star? And at the time, you know, he held his thumb and index finger a couple inches apart and said, Jim, often that's the difference. If you're 6'4" versus 6'2", you'll be ranked higher. Yep. And a lot of really good players are left out because they're too short, their arms aren't long enough, they don't weigh enough, or they don't run a, you know, 4.44 40, but they're really good players, but they get overlooked. And it's like, how good are you at identifying those kind of guys, Landon?
Yeah, it is. You still have to be able to identify those guys, have, you know, have the ability to build those relationships and do things like we talked about, you know, during the break. Joe Paterno stopped doing the home visits, kind of just he got too old. And we saw the recruiting kind of start to take a hit in that late 2000s. It was, you know, hitting some legacy players, but he was not hitting on big time 5-star recruits for the most part. And, you know, so that kind of shows that relationship is always going to be there. Parents and families and even the kids have to trust that they are going to be put in a good position, and not, it's not all just about money for these players still to this day, Jim.
All right, Landon, that's going to be the last word. Thank you, Landon. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.